Would you take your Bibles and hold them up in the air? Thanks for bringing them with you. I'm going to ask that you would take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20 as we go over the commandments that we have studied thus far and then go into the commandment for today. Exodus chapter 20, starting with verse 1. You can follow along on the screen as well. Verse 1, brother. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. And you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, or your manservant or your maidservant, nor your animals nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now the commandment for today, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and mother. Something that God shouted from the mountain. One of 10, in fact it was only 10 and there were no others that he shouted as he had written them on the tablets front and back and gave them to Moses. This is one of those 10 that he wanted the people to make sure they understood. Honor your father and mother. As the scripture says, the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to the whole Israelite assembly there on the mountain from out of the fire, the cloud, and the deep darkness. He shouted it to them, honor your father and mother. It's important to God that he made it the top 10, one in the top 10. He said it to a group of people that were very, very old and very, very young and every age in between. This was ageless. It was timeless. It was conditionless. He said it to every single person and it applied to everybody. You see, this is something that is near to the heart of God because it speaks of our relationship with our fathers and our mothers and our relationship with Him ultimately. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. The dishonoring of our parents has been going on since the very first parents. Adam and Eve were told in that garden, you are not to do this one thing. You are not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the good and evil, which is in the center of the garden. You're not to do that. And they dishonored their father, the one who made them, by disobeying. And of course, we know what happened. Everything fell apart after that. They had children, Cain and Abel, and we see that Cain dishonored his parents and his heavenly father. After his sacrifice was not acceptable to God, and he was a little in a snit, God gets over to him and he says, listen, Cain, watch yourself. Sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is to master you, but you must master it. And Cain said, ah. And he went out into the field with his brother Abel, and there in anger he slew his brother, and the blood from his brother cried out to the Lord from the ground. And it's been happening ever since, and it will continue to happen. Children will not honor their parents until the last day of human history. Would you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul, just before he, again, is to be executed, he writes this last letter to Timothy, and he writes these words in 2 Timothy chapter 3, speaking of the last days of human history. Starting with verse 1, he says this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Wow, that's pretty amazing. That of all the things he could have talked about, there's going to be murderers, there's going to be rapists, there's going to be sex traffickers, there's going to be drug dealers and the like. Of all the things he could have said, he says it's going to be horrible, terrible times in the last days. People will not obey or will not honor their parents. Or will not honor their parents. Obey their parents. So important was it to Paul, so important was it to God, that he said, if you don't do this, there's a death penalty. If you curse your parents, if you attack your parents, there's a death penalty. That's what he said to the children of Israel. So he also said, if you do obey it, I'll let you live long in the land. How on earth does this commandment, this part of the moral law, apply to us today? Does it apply to us? What does it really mean? We're going to look into it very intently. Would you pray with me and ask God's blessing? Father, we come to this place, and once again, we have all kinds of influences over our minds. As we consider honoring our parents, I'm sure the thoughts are flying right now. And if they can even apply this. Father, I just pray that as we gather together at your feet, that you would speak to us through your servant, your spirit, and your word, that you would speak to your people with the message that only you would have them have. And Father, I pray that you would work a miracle from my lips to the hearer's ears. Father, that anything that otherwise part of our flesh would get in the way, Father, I pray that that would just be set aside. Lord, may you be glorified. May we come closer to you. May we honor, at the end of this day, may we honor our parents, that you might be pleased with us, that we might live long in the land. Now, Father, would you direct our steps. Speak to us once again, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There is no doubt in my mind that as we look at this commandment, there are people among us in this audience here that say, Pastor, you have no idea what you're asking of me. You have no idea what kind of parents I had growing up. How abusive, how neglectful, how they abandoned us. How violent and hateful. And you're asking me to honor my parents. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Stay with me. Ephesians chapter 6. Starting with verse 1, Paul writes to the Gentile Christian church in Ephesus. I emphasize that. He says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And then would you go over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I want to tie these two verses together. 1 Timothy chapter 5 in verse 8. You can get the context of this verse a little later. But verse 8 says this, If anyone, and that is the masculine singular pronoun, that means a man, it is incumbent upon the men more than of the women to do this. If any man does not provide for his household or his relatives, especially for those in his immediate household or family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let me repeat that. If any man does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Going back to Ephesians chapter 6, fathers, do not exasperate your children. That Greek word means to provoke your children to anger. There's no doubt that if you're a dad or a mom, you're going to make your children angry. Amen? Amen. It should not be your delight to make your children angry. But it's going to happen. You tell your kids, okay, it's time to come inside. Dinner's ready. They don't want to come in. They get angry. They throw their bike against the house or whatever. You tell them, get off the Xbox. It's time to come up to bed. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, and they get angry at you, right? There are times when they're going to get angry at you because they don't want to do what you've asked them to do. That's different than what he's talking about here in the book of Ephesians. He says, fathers, do not exasperate, do not provoke, intentionally do something that you know will make them angry for that simple thought, the idea that this will make them angry. And there are fathers and mothers who actually will prod and poke their kids and make them angry, make them angry individuals. Don't do that. Second thing we looked at was 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. It says, he who does not provide for his household is worse than an unbeliever. I'm not going to ask you to say anything out loud. I want you to be still on this. But I'm wondering if you think about it, what do you think is the most important provision that a man is to provide for his household? Don't say it out loud. I'm sure the things come into your mind. Well, you got to provide food for your children, otherwise, or your household, otherwise they'll starve to death, or something to drink, or they'll die of thirst, or shelter, or clothing. These are the most important things, Pastor. And I would dare say they are critical. You need to provide these things, but they're a close second to what I think is the most important provision that a man can provide for his household. Every service thus far couldn't contain themselves. They said love, and that's not it. It's protection. It's protection. If your family is not protected, it doesn't matter how full their bellies are. They can be taken, they can be killed, they can be abused. They can have all kinds of hurt come upon them. You are to protect your family. The sad thing is, some of you in this room have had fathers and mothers who were supposed to protect you, who really became the people that you needed to be protected from. I get that. Spoke with a woman in the first service today, and she said, when I was a girl, my dad had a loaded gun in the basement. And I took, she's of age, she's over 80. She said, I took that gun one day and I threw it down the outhouse. And she said, because he told us one day he was going to kill us all. I said, what happened? She said, my dad got me and he beat me mercilessly. She said, but I wouldn't cry. I bit my lip until it started to bleed. Some people who are supposed to protect are the ones that we're supposed to be protected from, or we need to be protected from. Several months ago, I had an invitation to a wedding. Only one person in this room, maybe my wife as well, but I think that, Adam, you were in the room as well, when a three-year-old girl came walking down. Maybe if you've heard the story, just allow me to repeat it for those who haven't. Three-year-old girl comes walking down the aisle. Now, we were downstairs. This upper story did not exist 30 years ago. This was only here since 2000 that we had it dedicated 2001. But we were downstairs in a little tiny room, and that was our sanctuary. And I was in the middle of my message, and in walks this girl, and she walks down the center aisle. And what does she say, Adam? What does she call me? Preacher man. Preacher man, that's right. Because that's what Adam calls me all the time. He calls me preacher man because of that day. And she comes walking down the aisle and says, preacher man, look at my new shoes. And of course, I stopped what I was doing. I went and I looked at her new shoes, and Sarah Lou, who's in the first service, she corralled her and brought her to the front seat. A three-year-old girl, how cute. What on earth is a three-year-old girl doing in our church alone? Where's her mother? Where's her mother? I had no idea where her daughter was. 3 years old. 30 years later, I get an invitation to her wedding. She didn't ask me to do the wedding, but she said, I would like you to come to it. She had called me earlier in the year and asked me if I would do it. I said, well, you're going to have to go through counseling and all kinds of stuff. And she said, well, how about if you just come? So she invited me to the wedding. I went to the wedding, and there she was. And she would be what my kids call a hot mess. She was a mess. She had no teeth left because she had been dropping acid, and they rotted out her teeth. I have a relative like that. I know what affects you. She was tattooed from top to bottom. She had gauges in her ears and piercings through her lips and her eyebrows, and she was a mess. And her mother was there, and her groom was just as much a mess. It's a disaster. It's a train wreck of a marriage. And her mother was standing there next to me. I hadn't talked to her in almost the 30 years as well, and she said, let me tell you about my daughter, you know, as they were doing some of the preliminary stuff, and she started sharing with us about her life. About the children that she had taken, every single child that her daughter had was taken from her by Dyphus, except the one she had now. And she said, you see that man up there? He's marrying my daughter so that that child doesn't get taken away from them. Well, during the vow time, the vows were finally over, and the mother stands up and said, finally, good. Now she's your problem, and don't return her back to me. I talked to that mother later, and she said, you know, people tell me I was not a good mom. I was the best mom. I said, no, you were the worst mom I've ever seen. I didn't say that to her, but I said it in my heart. No, you're the worst mom. Not every mom is the best mom just because you, quote unquote, did everything you could for your kids. She did not. She was terrible. She should have been out of the picture. That girl should have been protected from the one who was supposed to protect her. I get it. I get the fact that when we say honor your mother and your father, there are some parents who have been really, really rough. I get that. But there's also parents who have been exemplary. There are parents who have just raised their kids in nurture and admonition of the Lord. They have sacrificed and they've raised their children well. And then there's the rest of us who are kind of average. We fail and we succeed in trying to do the things that are right with our kids. But you need to understand that this commandment, this one of ten that God bellowed from that mountain, was without condition. He didn't say, honor your father and your mother if they're good parents, or if they got you everything that you wanted, or if you had a great childhood. He doesn't say honor. He says, honor your father and mother that you might live long in the land. I believe there's probably any verse of these 12 verses that we went over, these commandments, any one of those commandments that we could easily justify disobeying. Pastor, I know you talked about the Sabbath last week and the idea that I should take one day out of seven and worship the Lord and make it holy unto the Lord, but I can't. I've got to work 40 days straight this month. I just can't. And we can justify disobedience, and we can justify disobeying this one probably more easily than any other one. I cannot do it. I cannot honor my mother, and I cannot honor my father. Then you might say, you know what, Pastor? I have a loophole. This is not for us. Of all of these Ten Commandments, this one is specifically not for us because God says, honor your father and your mother. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother that you might live long in the land that I am giving you. Well, who is he giving the land to? The Jews. What's the land? The land of Canaan, the promised land. Ha, good, I'm off the hook. I don't have to honor my parents. No, that doesn't work, people. That would work fine if it wasn't for two things. Number one, it's the moral law. And the moral law doesn't have a time on it. It goes from Adam all the way to the last person ever to be born. The moral law is to be obeyed by the Muslim, by the Buddhist, by the Hindu, by the atheist, by the agnostic. They're all going to be held accountable to God's moral law. All of us are. Do you follow me, church? Whether or not you acknowledge that he exists doesn't change a thing. We all have to honor that, and we will be held accountable. So that's one. And the second thing is, Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, which is right, and honor your father and mother, that you might live long on the earth. This is the first commandment with a promise. And he says it to the Gentile Christian church in Ephesus. So it's not for the Jew living back under the theocracy who are going into the land. It's for everybody. Are you with me? You have to obey this. And when you do, you get to live a long life and you will be honored by the Lord. So what does it mean? What does it mean to honor? The word kabod is the Hebrew word kabod, your mother and father. Honor your father and mother. And it talks of weightiness, of a fat man, if you will. Eli was kabod. You remember Eli? He's an old man. 90-something years old, I think it was. And he was sitting on his chair and he heard the news that the Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the Philistines and that Hophni and Phinehas were now dead and his sight had gone and he fell over backwards and broke his neck because he was a kabod. He was a fat man. It talks of weightiness. More than anything else, it's used figuratively of the weightiness of a time or a person, of the importance of that individual. And we are to show honor and respect to that. So that's where really the word comes from. So how do we do it? Are you ready? I'm going to give you three things in a very short time. Are you ready? Number one, Obedience as a child. Obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Some people said, well, wait a minute, Pastor, what does it mean in the Lord? What do you mean? Because one person in particular last night said that he had somebody get out of this because he said, well, that in the Lord means if my parents are Christians, I'm to obey them. We do all kinds of convoluted things to try to get around this honoring. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That means that they ask you to do something that is not in violation to what he has told you to do. You are to do it. Now, mind you, there are times, and I get this, if you're a little one and your big daddy says, tell them I'm not home, and dad's standing right there in the house, I have a feeling the kid's going to lie, even though it goes against God's law, because he's afraid. It says, children, obey your parents. So how long are we supposed to do that? Well, there comes a time when you come out from underneath your parents' authority, you leave and you cleave, right? And you go off and you have your own family and say, oh, there you go. You know, I don't have to obey them anymore. Well, children under the rooftop definitely have to. But let me tell you something. Children should always obey their parents whenever it's reasonable. Those who have come out underneath the authority of their parents still should obey them. Whenever possible. Because you are setting an example that your parents are honorable. You're saying, yes, my mom is 77 years old. I went to see her on Friday. And, you know, she'll say, Randy, get the garbage can that's out in the front of my house there, would you? No, I left and cleft 30 years ago. I don't have to obey you, Mom. No, I don't say that. You know, but of course I do it. Go get that for me. Absolutely. I obey her because she's honorable. I'm supposed to honor my mother. Do you follow me, church? When every single time that you have an opportunity to obey your mom or dad, and you're already older, do so. That's number one. Number two, acts of respect are a way of honoring one another. The Bible says, rise in the presence of the aged. Because to rise is an act of honoring. When our elders come up onto the platform, I don't know if you ever watch me, but I stand when the elders come up. And then I sit simultaneously with them as an act of honoring my elders. When a lady comes up on the platform, anytime a lady comes onto the platform, I stand to honor the ladies. You stand to honor. Let me tell you something. We had our chaplains meeting on Thursday with the police chief and the police lieutenant, and the chaplains were there. And we used to have a female chaplain, and we used to have another woman who came in who was part of the state who helped us do a lot of things with the police department. And when the men were there and the ladies would come into the room, we would stand as an act of honoring and of respect. Now, ladies, if you have a problem with that as sexist, understand we're trying to honor you. Are you okay with that, ladies? Say amen. Amen. All right, most of you are. I hope it's okay that we are. Now, let me tell you, those acts of respect are important. Giving your seat. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be down in Disney, and we get on those monorails. Oh, they're a delight. They really are. You get jammed in there, and you go off to the park that's so cheap, and you go, and you get jammed in there. Everybody wants to get there. So they're all jamming their kids in their strollers and stuff, and there's women that are standing, and there are men who are seated. That to me is not right, unless the man for some reason has a physical disability. I don't think it's right. You give your seat to a woman all the time. That's an act of respect. One more quick illustration. I've done over 400 funerals in the 30 years I've been here. I get to hear a lot of stories. If you've heard this again, I'm sorry. But I hear a lot of stories from funeral directors as I ride in the hearse every time we have a burial. And I was going up to the Northampton Memorial Shrine up here, up in Easton, off of Northampton Street, and we were going up the road, and I had heard before that, you know, as we were going around a bend, there were some people that were walking. They just kind of ignore the caravan of cars, the processional with the funeral on all those cars. They just ignore it, and they just go on their way. And the one funeral director said, you know, it used to be a day when the people would see a funeral procession. If they were on the sidewalk, they would take off their hat if they had one, and they would just stop what they were doing, and they would bow their head. They may not have known the individual, but it was a matter that life is now gone. It was a matter of respect and of honoring the person's life, even if they didn't know him. He said, that doesn't happen anymore. And he said, and as we were going up Northampton street up toward the shrine, there was a bunch of boys. They were younger boys, maybe early 20s or late teens. And they were doing, as Pastor Mike back there would say, they were sagging. You know, they were showing their boxer shorts, and they had their colors on. They had their hats a funky way and everything. And I'm like, oh, here we go again. As we're going by, the guys took off their hats and they bowed their heads as the procession was going. And I was just struck with conviction. My prejudice against those young people, because they were young, I'm thinking if the older people can't get it, and here their mamas and papas taught them something right. To honor. Acts of honoring. Acts of respect is a way of honoring. Then the third thing is to bless your parents rather than cursing them. Bless your parents rather than cursing them. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, it says, if a person attacks their parent, they are to be put to death. If you jump over to verse 17, it says, anyone who curses his father or mother is to be put to death. That's still in that same time period where God is giving out the law to Moses. This is what you're to tell them. The Ten Commandments he wrote on stone. But he said, these are other things I want you to tell them. If a person curses their mother or father, how about blessing them? Have you blessed them? Proverbs 31, verse 28. Remember that Proverbs 31 woman, that amazing woman that has 12 arms? She can do everything, right? Incredible woman. Anyway, it says that her children rise. That act of respect. They rise and they call her blessed. They give words of blessing. Do you bless your parents rather than curse them? I'm wondering how our parents would feel if they heard our conversation about them when we're not in their presence. I'm wondering if they would just be mortified about the things that we say about our moms and our dads, or if they would be proud of us. If they say, look at how they talk about me, I'm proud of that. It's important to God how we speak to our parents and that we not curse them, but that we bless. And I believe all this reflects the heart of God and how he wants to have a relationship, because as we treat our parents, we're probably going to be treating our Heavenly Father. Would you turn to one last passage, Malachi chapter 1, and we're almost done. You still with me, church? Malachi chapter 1, last book of the Old Testament. Just before Matthew, if you're struggling there. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. You can get the context again another time. This is God speaking through the prophet. He says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? And then he goes on with a litany of things as to how they are dishonoring him. The question is, do we honor God? Jesus scolds the Pharisees and the scribes in the passage the pastor read for us. He says, Isaiah was right when he spoke about you guys. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Stay with me. They honor me with their lips. They speak the right words, but they have no relationship with me, their father. How many times we could be raised in church, we could go to Christian school, we could go to American Heritage Girls and go through the whole program, we can be in Sunday school and youth group and go to church all our lives, and we know the Christianese, so we know how to say the right words that would honor God in the presence of other Christians, but we really outside of this have no relationship with them whatsoever. Jesus says to the Pharisees, the ones who had been trained in all of those things, you honor me with your lips, you know the right words, but you are dishonoring to me. You have no real heart toward me, and that's my question. Do we honor God with our lips and our hearts really are far from him because we have zero relationship with him? God says, listen, in 2 Samuel, he says, those who honor me, I will honor. I love that verse. Those who honor me, I will honor. And we see that with Jesus and Stephen. Remember when Stephen was being stoned to death? He looks up to heaven and he sees something phenomenal. Remember what was peculiar about what he saw? Here was Jesus who is said to be seated at the right hand of God. When Stephen looks up, Jesus is standing. I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. He was rising to honor Stephen, who had been so honorable to him. Those who honor me, I will honor. You honor your parents, you honor the Lord, and he's going to honor you. Not only that, he's going to give you a long life. That's the promise. Honor your mother and your father that you might live long on the earth. First commandment with a promise. This is not optional. It's not conditional. We are to honor our moms and dads, and we will be blessed. I believe this culture could be changed. I believe it can be changed. Not radically changed, perhaps, but I think it could be changed if people who name the name of Jesus would simply honor their moms and dads in what they say and what they do. Would you agree, church? You are to honor your mom and dad, not as long as they live, but as long as you live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into this place and we recognize that we have not always been honoring to our moms and our dads. One man shared last night that he swears at his mother on a regular basis. Well, maybe we don't swear at them, but maybe we dishonor them in other ways. Father, we are called to obey you, and you will bless us. You gave us the commandments to bless. Father, forgive us of the many, many, many times we have said things which our parents would have probably been mortified if they heard how we speak of them and what we, how we treat them. So, Lord, I know there's barriers up. I know there's a lot of hurt. Maybe there's been a lot of abuse. Maybe there's been great violence. Maybe there's hatred. Father, we belong to you. We don't belong to the world. So, Father, help us. If we cannot bless with our words, Lord, at least help us not to curse our parents. If there's a way that we can honor them and thereby obey you and honor you, Father, would you help us? And for those other parents who have just been just great parents, Lord, I pray that every word from our lips would always be honoring to them as unto you. Now, Father, if there's anything in my flesh that has crept into this time, may it be quickly forgotten. May only the things of you remain. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.